empty car.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
The God of this world is Satan, because us mankind gave over our dominion over this in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. We gave it to Satan.
By eating off the tree of knowledge, and therefore thorns and thistles grew out of the ground. That's why he had to wear the crown of thorns.
Well, that may be, but one of the powers to be on this earth right now is Satan and his demonic forces.
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that there was a war in heaven. The great dragon, Satan, fought against Michael and the archangel, and Michael came and forced the dragon and a third of the angels onto heaven, where they wage war against God's
people.
We're
taking over from God here, and we're going to be God. And I mean,
so
the whole thing sounds preposterous, doesn't it?
Well, that's the reality of the spiritual world that we live in.
Mm.
So Jesus said, after his resurrection, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me.
Yeah.
Therefore, this is my translation, proceed on the journey that you began with me and disciple all the racial and ethnic groups that I place you in, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. And remember, I will be with you as you do this. We had a conversation a couple weeks ago about the four verbs in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing and teaching.
Disciples. Now,
the command verb is only one in the Great Commission. It's matateos, make disciples.
And what does that mean?
Well, this is what I think we can have a discussion about, because there's often a lot of confusion about what making disciples actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jesus told us to make disciples. A disciple is defined as a learner under discipline.
Discipline is disciple.
Right.
Discipline, the word discipline.
So we are to be about the business of bringing the gospel that—
I'm a discipleton. Instead of a simpleton, I'm a discipleton. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I thought that was— I don't want to dwell too much on the simpleton aspects of what you just said,
simpleton.
Rhett.
Hey, look, those of us who are a little stupid, we're blessed because God expects less from me.
So here's the question. How do we make disciples? If you ask that question to a number of our fellow followers of Jesus, they might come up with all sorts of answers.
Mm-hmm.
When I ask you that question, Rhett, what would your response be? How do we make disciples?
Well, of course, the Word of God, you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
So reading the Word?
Reading the
Word. Okay, that's a definite.
Because he is the Word, was the Word, the beginning was the Word, dwelt among men, they knew him not. But anyway, so we're the Word, and also going through space and time, learning the disciplines of hopefully an observation of the person in front of you, if they're a good disciple, and I see how you handle someone who maybe might have a loud voice or blah, blah, blah. So I go, okay, so Mike is the rabbi teacher here, and I see look how he responds. So I should do like
okay, that's
imitate
that's,
you.
Okay, that's those are good aspects. A number of people formalize the process, I think, and say, okay, if you're going to be a disciple, come to our church building, take some classes where we're going to teach you Christian behavior of what you should do.
Yeah.
Make sure that you attend our meetings and then start acting like we act and do the things.
In most cases.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. There's the guy, the thief on the cross, who suddenly he's mocking Jesus, and then he turns around and he says, hey, what are you doing mocking this guy? He did nothing. We deserve to be here. This man's innocent. Because Jesus, remember what Jesus said right before him was, Father, forgive them. They know what to do. So this guy melts. His heart melts because of what Jesus said. Then, and Jesus responds to him melting and says, I tell you this day, comma, you will be with me in paradise. Now, that guy never knew the disciplines, never got baptized, nothing. It's just Jesus says, you're coming because of your faith of what I said, you're in.
And that's the starting point. The starting point of...
What happens to a guy like that in heaven, though? Because he didn't have time to get the disciplines, you know?
Well, that's if you're up on the cross next to the Savior of mankind and you're watching and you're hearing the things that he says and there's something going on and you're suddenly aware of it, the guy had an experience.
Yeah.
Okay, just like all of us.
Just like you did. Like in my living room, I still can't get over. I wonder what happened that day when I finally surrendered, use the words, I surrender the rest of my life to you, boom. And I was like, oh, my word, you're real. And that peace that passes understanding. And I was like, I said, this is why people do drugs. That's the counterfeit. This is the real McCoy that they're searching for.
Yeah, and so the discipleship starts off with that experience that Jesus is describing to Nicodemus. Remember, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born from above. You must have a spiritual birth.
How can I get back into my mother's womb?
So he didn't have understanding of that, but he said there's got to be, Jesus says there's got to be a spiritual birth.
Mm.
And when Nicodemus doesn't understand that, Jesus brings him to a couple of scriptures that prompt his thinking.
One what is, are they?
One is from Proverbs chapter 30, where the writer of Proverbs says, who is it that has gone up to heaven and come back down? Who is he and what is his son's name? Do you know?
What is his son's name?
So this is Proverbs chapter 30. And Nicodemus obviously had memorized that.
I didn't know that was in Proverbs.
Proverbs 30. And then he refers to something that happened in the desert when during the Exodus, when they were coming from Egypt and coming into the land.
Escaping slavery.
Where they were murmuring and complaining against Moses, and God allowed snakes to come into the camp, and snakes started biting people. And
Don't be a complainer.
Don't be a complainer.
I've gone there.
Don't be a complainer against God's anointed.
Ooh.
And the people started dying from the snake bites, and so they come to Moses and they say, look, we're sorry we said those things. Can you talk to God and get him to do something? And so God said, Moses, make a snake out of bronze, put it on a pole. Anybody who looks at that snake with faith that I can heal them will have that poison taken out of their bodies and live.
And that's a foreshadowing of Jesus on the wooden cross. The snake was on a wooden pole.
And so Jesus says to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, and Nicodemus knows exactly what he's talking about, Numbers chapter 28.
So too the Son of Man shall be lifted up.
Right. And so Jesus is pointing the picture, making a picture that I will be on the cross, I will be redeeming mankind, freeing them from their bondage to sin. And anyone who looks at me and believes me and the message and what I'm doing, they shall live and have eternal life.
That's quite a promise.
It's a promise. And
and it is written in the scriptures, God is not a man that he should lie. Because Jesus said, no liar shall enter the kingdom of God, for the devil is the father of all lies.
Okay, well... I think the point is that we need a spiritual birth.
Yes.
And Paul describes to his friends in Ephesus in this chapter 1 of his letter, and when you believed, God sealed you with his Holy Spirit. Now, the process...
I could weep and cry right now just thinking about the reality of that, knowing what happened to me. No one else might be able to believe me, but... When it's happened to you, you know it.
Right. So the process of salvation is it's a pretty simple one. God is continually pursuing us. He's tapping us on the shoulder. He's saying, hey, look at me.
I want friendship.
Look at my creation.
Yes.
I am an amazing guy. I am an awesome creator.
And he's a giver. He gives us breath. He gives us life. He gives us flowers. He gives us bees.
Exactly.
And,
I have the best things for you you could possibly imagine.
I should say so.
And so there's all
Thank
of these
you, Father in
these
heaven.
Pursuing us. Christianity is very different than world religions because world religion is mankind trying to make themselves acceptable for the deity, for the God.
if you do this and cut yourself. Right.
All the behavior.
Die for me. And Jesus said, no, I died for you.
I died for you, right.
Right.
So God is pursuing us. And at a certain point, it's a process. We will suddenly be aware of this. And I think we are suddenly aware of our own sinful state, and we're suddenly aware of our need for God in our life. And so we pause in our walk. We consider our ways, and we consider God and what he's offering to us, and we repent, which literally means we turn and walk another way. We turn around and walk the other way. We're walking now toward God, and we receive with sincerity what he's offering us. And for me, it was a moment on the beach, Waikuli Park, just north of Lahaina on Maui, where one day I said, Jesus, I think you are who you say you are, so I'm going to follow you.
And what happened at that moment?
At that point, I sensed that something in me had changed.
At that exact moment?
At that moment. Now, the clouds didn't part. I didn't hear the hallelujah chorus, but something had changed.
You knew it innately.
And this is, I think, the process, is when God sees the sincerity of our heart, then he receives us into his family, and he gives us his Holy Spirit as a down payment of what's coming up. This is what Paul says.
Sure.
So I had that experience. I went back to my apartment in Lahaina, and my habitual behavior was to take out my bong and do a few bongs, smoke a little bit of weed, and go watch the sunset with my friends. But that day when I pulled out the bong and smoked, I didn't get high.
Really?
Something had changed in me. And I noticed in the next days and weeks, I stopped using some of the colorful language that I used. The F word just dropped out of my vocabulary.
You and I have parallel lives. Within 2 weeks, I wasn't swearing.
So I knew something had changed.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a process that we all have to go through. And quite honestly, Rhett, I know there are many people who are church members who consider themselves followers of Jesus, but they haven't yet had that experience.
And if you don't know that you've had it, you have not had it. And Jesus said, make sure ye are born above, born from above. You're born once of water with your mother. You must be born spiritually. And wow, once you go to the other side, you go, oh, man.
Well, I think there's some things that happen that are kind of evidences of it, like my friend Lainey.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Even so. Even so, even so, Yeshua come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, Jerusalem. join our hearts together, we come in one accord.